Hello and welcome to another episode of The Advantage. I'm your host, Michael Fiddle. Today is Sunday, March 29th, and on today's podcast, we are doing another episode of Check Ball, where AV and I are going to be talking about the hottest topics around the NBA. So far on the list, we got some funny ones. We got some good ones for a late March NBA conversation. The LeBron and JJ Redick Mind the Game podcast. I have a list of questions for AV that I haven't even given him time to prep. We're going to get some funny reactions out of these. D'Lo talk about a LeBron teammate simply not knowing his teammates in the standings. Y'all see Harden go out and close out on his teammate, Kawhi Leonard. Did you see what Mike Fratello was texting from the March Madness tournament? And if we have time permitting, we will get to the first-year players that are going to be going to the playoffs and doing a little, who do we trust the most and who do we not trust to line up for playoff intensity? Like, Zion's got his first playoffs coming up. And that is, like, on top of Chet, Paolo, Halliburton. There are so many first-year players approaching the NBA playoffs that we need to talk about and make some predictions before we get there. All of that and more. Let's get it popping.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do it, say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
All right, before we officially get started, let me remind everyone to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are listening to. To sign up for the fiddlespick.substack.com free gambling newsletter, you could see it branded at the bottom of the video here. When I am not doing a podcast, when I am not talking about my picks, I write them and I send them out for free. I am on an absolute heater. We have won 12 of our last 14 days, the hot streak, looking to keep going through the rest of the season. And then, of course, check out Fantasy Basketball International. You could watch this video on their YouTube channel or check out any of their great resources for the fantasy side of the NBA. Joining me is a lead NBA insider. He is certainly one of the top insiders for Check Ball and The Advantage, because this man sent us some great topics, some great insider articles, some things that I was not even privy to around the league. So, AV, thank you for providing some of this week's topics. And how do you feel being lead insider for The Advantage week?
I'm pretty proud. You know, I don't know that I always earn my titles and promotions, but this week, contributing 2 out of 5 topics when my average over the seasons is zero. I'm pretty proud about it. RNBA. I got to give credit to RNBA. It was especially wild this week with both the Harden closeout and the Mike Fratello text that I can't wait to talk about both these, because we were talking about both of these in the chat all week. I couldn't believe that either of these happened.
We start Check Ball every week with you choosing the topic. So you provided the list of topics. Do we switch it up and I get to choose this week, or are we still rocking with your choice?
Oh, I'm taking the choice here. I don't feel bad trying to pass this off. Let's start with Kawhi, because Harden, because it blew my mind just watching it live. Because, you know, the NBA season is long, and sometimes you're not paying attention, or guys like Harden or other guys in the league can maybe be, you know, a little weird or spacey. This isn't like, you know, passing to the other team, or like even like accidentally shooting on your own hoop. Closing out on your own teammate that you passed to and actively kicked out to from three is pretty mind-blowing, because you know exactly what's happening in the play. You just created this play. So I was texting you guys, and I was saying, if I was a reporter, I would use every single one of my questions just getting to the bottom of what happened. He said, so he did come out and have to respond to this. He said, yeah, of course it's right, because it's an insane thing to do, right? He said he did have to
talk about it.
yeah. Thank God. They should never let him off the hook for that. His excuse ended up being that it's, you know, it's a long season. He was trying to get the guys going, you know, sort of mess with them a little bit. They were up about 20, which is fair. But even Kawhi looked like he was like, what the fuck? I can't believe you just did that.
So When you first saw it live, were you able to process everything that was happening around the court and realize did you fully grasp what happened? Because I saw it in replay form, not live. And then I had to rewind it and be like, wait, why did he do that? Like, okay, I see the score, they're up 20. I see the game situation, it probably doesn't matter that much. My first thought was, oh, Harden must not have thrown the pass. He must have yeah. wanted to stat pad a little bit. He probably's at 9 assists, damn near a triple-double or something, and he knows he's coming off the court soon, and then he ends up getting the kick away for the second assist. Like, he created two assists on that play. Mm-hmm. So he ends up getting the throw to the other corner and ends up making the three for the assist. But my first reaction was like, wait, did Harden actually throw that pass, the first one too? Because it was a full committing closeout.
It was a full committed closeout. It's not even like because I almost could be a smart move, you know, almost like trick the defense a little, make it seem like you're the one gonna get over there and close out, maybe almost set like a little bit of an illegal screen by running in that direction. That was not the case. He was actually in Kawhi's face. He affected the shot. Kawhi missed that three. I'm pretty convinced partly because he was like, what is going on? My own teammate is closing out pretty hard. I have to admit that even though I saw it pretty soon after it happened, I also saw it in replay and with a headline from r/NBA, like, what is Kawhi doing here? So immediately I'm looking and following him on the play. There was no, like, having to figure out. I saw this man close out on the corner three.
Did you hear PG say recently on the podcast that the Clippers have no, like, team identity?
Yes, I did. And I've also heard it repeated on JJ's podcast and a few others, and it's I don't know if it's quite as big a deal as people are saying. Again, like I do sort of feel like identities change over the course of a season. And also if he's like comfortable enough to say it, then it probably doesn't have the gravitas that people say, which is essentially like, we don't know what we're doing out there. We don't know who we are. But I sort of don't think it's.
Do you have one glove on?
Yeah, I was removing my gloves as I went here. These are the I don't know about you know about these. They're the old school grippy stretchy gloves.
Those are the best gloves of all time.
Exactly. These
also,
are like the
PSA. Any gloves that can text are horrendous.
So I've had one pair, but I don't know if it worked as well, and it felt weird. It's all about the grippy gloves, you know.
It's all about. Text, the, like, I still wear grippy hospital socks when I'm just chilling around my bed.
That's just safe. That's just good, safe.
This is safe. This is safe practices. like the Clippers getting towards the end of the season. I thought the Harden thing was insane. Can I ask you about Mind the Game? Because I have the funniest questions lined up.
Yeah, let's do Mind the Game. Because, I mean, we were both so excited for this. It's so rare to have, like, a GOAT, like, Jordan, Brady, LeBron guy be so accessible like this. So we're like, what is about to happen?
Okay. So it starts with JJ talking to the camera about, and he's like explaining some of the plays and Mind the Game, by the way, for everyone, it's that new LeBron and JJ Redick podcast where they're breaking down some X's and O's of basketball. We're going to go through a lot of this. It's what I could tell based on the topic list, AV, that we're probably going to take the most time. So yeah. I wanted to do it early and let us be able to go deep on this and then see what else we could fit in. It starts off with JJ explaining, you know, hey, this is what Horns is, which is one of the most typical NBA sets that you start and run everything out of. This is what a thumb down action is. This is what a, you know, thumb down angled is. And these kind of very basic NBA concepts, but with NBA terminology, right? Thumb down is some basic pick and roll type sets. Horns is some basic motion offense type sets that pretty much you'd be able to recognize, but when you talk about it in conversation, you don't understand what these guys are talking about. So JJ explains it. When LeBron comes in and starts his portion of the show, we get Sommelier Bron. So he's bringing in his 2012 Bordeaux. This is my first championship year. This is a nice red. What did you think of Sommelier Bron? What would you trust Sommelier Bron on a scale 1 to 10 serving your table?
Oh, it's got to be 10. And just because in the situation you describe, Bron is at my table, it's even more. One of my two takeaways was actually the wine in this.
The wine was incredible. And the few bottle passes between them when it zooms in on the hand
The wine was incredible. And if you weren't even watching and you were just listening, the ASMR that this episode must have provided for you, just like the beautiful popping of the cork coming out, like the clink of the glass, like you hear the wine swishing. This was an artful podcast that these two gentlemen put together. But yeah, like, so LeBron, what, spends millions of dollars a year on his body, is the most health-focused, preserving, and longevity, and he drinks a ton of red wine. So if this person is going to do something that's like objectively not the best thing for your body, he probably loves it and spends so much time knowing about it. I trust him thoroughly. What about you?
Of course. It would be one of those things where if LeBron served me the boxed wine, Franzia, I'd probably think it's the nicest thing in the world because the way he presents it and talks about it. My first question was immediately like, how come your first championship year is a good wine year? Like, why do those things align, Bron? It's like, I brought a 2012. This is, normally you'd expect your sommelier to be like, this is from a great year. This is the sun was beaming, yeah, the grapes were blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
This is my first championship. It was a great year. So yep. I loved that. I loved that portion of it. My second question was, you had mentioned that, like, I think in our text before the first episode even dropped and we were talking about this podcast upcoming, you were like, I wonder why JJ got the podcast. And ever since you said it, it started making me think, like, JJ literally does everything around the game right now. They joked on Mind the Game about JJ's two simple plays, and JJ like joked like, hey, wait. I had like one thing where I could start a dribble and then pass off to Ben Simmons in the dunker's lane, right? So JJ's like explaining the third thing that he could have done on a basketball court. Off the court, this man is commentating on games. He's got his own Old Man in the Three, which is a great player pod and league pod. He's on First Take. He's doing the LeBron pod. I feel like I'm missing things even. Like, you don't normally see such versatility from someone off the court. I was wondering, like, why JJ get this pod? Like, why is he doing all of these things around it? What's JJ's, like, what's the goal of this?
Yeah, I think part of it is that he's actually good and his personality has really won people over. Like, so I went to Duke. I grew up my whole life a Duke hater. I was at Duke and hated on them. So if you're like a Duke hater, for whatever reason, I won't get into everything right now, JJ is like the poster boy for that. And the fact that this is like one of my favorite podcasts, one of my favorite voices, even though he's a little more annoying sometimes these days in the game right now, I think it just shows that like he comes off as very genuine and real. He does really talk about the game, which is why he's so good for a deep dive X's and O's podcast. But he's like, he's part accessible, he part keeps it real, and he does, even in his normal podcast, kind of give the viewer, listener, basketball fan more respect than other shows and journalists by getting into the weeds and describing plays and what's really happening and expecting them to understand, because a lot of us do.
Yeah, he's also got that like 3-4-2 media company, kind of like what Peyton Manning's doing with Omaha. So JJ's really, I mean, sometimes I wonder if it's players. He is really good. Like, he's objectively really good. I like him on the games. I like his chemistry with RJ. The banter between them two could end up becoming like the banter between the JVG and Mark Jackson and what that was for the past 10 years. It's a different sort of relationship, but it's like that fun three-man booth element to a live game that's probably going to just be at the NBA Finals for years and years to come.
That's what we were talking about. He's doing an NBA Finals game already. That's crazy. You are such a part of.
He's
the
also
NBA
in coaching
history.
Rumors all the time.
I know, but and I agree that was crazy. But that is a little bit different.
Does this squash the bug on coaching rumors for JJ? Like, is this, he not?
I based on nothing, and I have no idea. I don't think he ever considered seriously those coaching positions based on like his family life and just retiring and what he wanted. I really think he knows what it means for his image to be thought of in those conversations. I don't know if it helped the Raptors too. I don't know what sort of back conversations they had and how kind of scripted this is, but I think that he was very happy to be in that rumor mill conversation without ever really considering it. It's very impressive. And now to be kind of, if this turns into a big thing with Bron, to be sort of paired with the best ever. It's again, it's so crazy that you're getting Bron to have these conversations. Like, why do you think he's doing this? I assume it's at least in part to be more sort of like known and approachable and have his person more liked almost.
For LeBron's angle?
Yeah, you tell me that.
Yeah, I was struggling with that too, to be honest. Yeah. Like, why, Alec, because we have Alec in the back. Alec, if you have any idea of why you think LeBron's doing this, drop it in the chat or we could bring you in. But nice. I don't know, AV. I've been like, because he did the barbershop, which wasn't, I didn't really watch much of the barbershop. I don't really know how you, I didn't really watch much of KD's boardroom. I don't really listen to much of Podcast P or the Draymond Green show. I just wonder if it's just a culmination of so many players doing these types of things and LeBron feeling like I should do something like that. But he even said it in the game. He's so clearly going in the direction of his second career being ownership. He's different than the rest of these guys. Maybe he just wants to get his basketball intelligence out into the world. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, his basketball intelligence is being screamed from the mountaintops on all of these podcasts already, specifically JJ's, where other players come on, like Jamar specifically and a couple others, and been like, yeah, he calls out every play we run against them and tells my guys where to go, and it's like beyond demoralizing. Unbelievable. It's
the Shumpert stories of LeBron. Have you heard those? Have you heard Shumpert commenting on LeBron?
I think specifically from you, actually. I think
I'm always fascinated by it. If we didn't have YouTube points dinging us, I would pull up one of the videos right now.
That is smart. That's part of – I don't love that Jordan was never interviewed other than by, like, that one cigar aficionado magazine and remained so untouchable. That being said, it sort of adds to his allure and, like, it makes him seem more godlike. I've always felt like LeBron wanted to be on that level, and not that he was copying Jordan the way that, like, Kobe did with that kind of stuff, but I just feel like I'm surprised he's doing this because it's so anti the Jordan playbook. It makes you so much more human and like everyone else. And if you want to be liked, that's great. But if you want to be godlike, you sort of want to seem untouchable. And it's like, they can't catch you on a pod. You're LeBron.
Can I ask you a heavier question now that you're bringing in some of the other greats into the conversation?
Yeah, go ahead.
If a certain helicopter doesn't crash in January, 2 years ago now, is this LeBron and Kobe doing this? Is Kobe in the place of JJ?
Well, I mean, I'm almost like Kobe would have his own show with his own JJ, maybe JJ specifically. Kobe and Bron Mayer is a little bit, even though it's a little bit both, they have to be alphaing each other at all times. Like, even though Jordan and Kobe's relationship was good, towards the end, they still were always trying to say who was better and one up and compare years and stuff. I almost think it would be a little harder for Bron and Kobe to kick back and relax and just talk and not try to be sounding like the smartest in the room. But whereas JJ, he can keep up and everything, but I think he has no problem admitting, accepting his ego that this is amazing because LeBron is here and not him.
Right. Yeah, you could see that from the start in the way that he's clearly running it from the production standpoint. LeBron is more of the talent that comes in, kind of like check ball when we bring in the talent of AV, but not this week. So let's if it were Kobe to still be around and be able to do this, I feel like this would very much be in his lane, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
And I think like maybe are we season three right now of Kobe and JJ doing this?
Yeah, I mean, and that would be a great pairing. You know, Kobe always had the good Duke relationship because of Coach K and saying that he was going to go there if he went and all that. And I also think that Kobe already had his show where I forget what it was called, but he would like intensely break down one player, maybe detail. Something like that. Yeah. He was already on this path. He would have his own, you know, Bill Simmons-esque podcast empire by now. So I'm sure he would have his own show.
It would be Kobe sick. Was doing very much ESPN similar Plus to Peyton Manning's Omaha.
Yeah, exactly. So that was, that would have been great. Sad we don't have him for that. I don't think it'd be him and Bron, but yeah, it was cool having Bron on there. I loved all the X's and O's. I'm right with you there. Some of the more general, like what does it take to be a basketball player, and just like talking was like, okay, get back to the X's and O's because it's so short and I'm so excited. But it was great.
I loved LeBron talking about processing and being able to flip plays and Rondo, how good Rondo was at that. To be honest, I'm watching that going, flipping plays is incredibly easy.
You were
a point guard. Like, it's incredibly easy, right?
I can't believe that's where he's starting with, but I think that's sort of what he's saying, that like, he couldn't even as a kid wrap his mind around how there were so many levels to this, you know, and there were some people who really struggled even with basics, and he was
right,
you know, so on a different level. I mean, every serious team I played for, not only do as a point guard you have your own plays memorized for everything, but I memorize everyone else's position, so I know exactly where they're going to be coming off of. And it's like, it's if it doesn't feel like work and you love the game and it's like you're on the court and experiencing it, it is kind of so much easier. But LeBron is a freak. He spends so much time on this, and it's almost like, I remember growing up being like, people would say there's photographic memories, and I'm like, that's like incredible. It's almost like superpower type stuff. And it's like, the more you learn the people who are like have superpowers in these areas, it's the more they're just so interested in it and spend so much time in it that it's like, it seems more secondhand nature. And it's like, LeBron is super smart and he really understands it, but he loves it so much that he just spends his whole life in this game, thinking the game.
He's like, well, no, but he's clearly basketball savant, photographic memory type of. Agreed. He also trains his mind, not by reading the books, because he's on the first page of every book, but like all the cold tubs shit that he does, like that is very mentally strengthening too.
I agree. Very mentally tough. And again, there's a huge range of that in the NBA, of people who are incredibly mentally tough compared to the regular person in the NBA and the world. Some compared to the rest of the league are elite. And then some people who really struggle and can't hold it together and are just great ballers.
All right, let's move on. Let's stay Lakers related. D'Lo. We also talked about D'Lo on a recent episode of Check Ball, AV, where he was, we joked about his public humiliation comments. This time he's kicking it back in post-game interviews, saying like, I don't know the standings of the Lakers games right now. Like, I don't like, this was a big game for us to lose against the Kings. Why is that? It's like, oh, now you're three games back and now you clearly lost the season series against them. And now you can't. And he's just like, oh, all right, well, now I know. If you were a Laker teammate, first of all, do you think D'Lo's telling the truth, or do you think he's just trolling the media back? And then how do you feel as a Laker teammate having your starting point guard just not understanding the importance of these games or the weight of some of these games?
Yeah, I mean, I have responses to both of those. And I think to the first one, I do think that he's like in part kidding. I don't know if he actually doesn't know or does know, but I do think that he's been hot in his post-game pressers and play recently. He's actually very much, especially because like the Lakers are always the number one team. He plays with Bron. He's been very much in the limelight recently. I think he's very aware of that. He's good at that stuff. He's having fun right now. I don't think, you know, maybe he's making it up, maybe he's not. I also don't think it's that big of a deal. So to your second question, as a teammate, definitely don't care. I pressers
really
like that would rarely bother me at all. But I would say it's not like he's not playing his fucking ass off trying to get them into the playoffs. It's not like the West doesn't shift every day because every other team wins. And you could totally spin it to me where if D'Lo is like, look, from a mental health standpoint, I need to focus on day in and day out in my matchup, and I don't need to worry about this, who's coming after me, what do I need to do in the games. I can't control that. What I can control is how well I'm playing on the court and how I'm helping my teammates. And as soon as you hear D'Lo say that, would you not be like, oh, okay, he's actually in playoff zen mode locking in?
Sure, but I also think like back to mind the game, and it just goes back to all of the different dichotomies and just the way that we talk about players, right? So back to mind the game, LeBron talks about the fourth quarter comeback against the Clippers, and one of the first things he says is, I knew that the importance of this because we had the back-to-back against Washington on the second night and we couldn't lose both games, so that way I knew if we ended up dropping this one, we would have to win tomorrow night against the Wizards, and I had about 3 or 4 minutes to change the tune of this game, so I had to put a few up, right? So, like, he knew all of the situational stuff. So it's like, if he hears that, then, like, his teammate and not know, and then going, I don't really know. I would hope that D'Lo's literally just trolling back, because to me it would be like, you should know some of the context of these games.
I think even if he didn't know the exact standings, he's still locked in enough and he knows that kind of thing. And secondarily, good thing he plays with Bron, who knows these kind of things more than anyone maybe who's ever been alive.
So and then who drives the pace on the court, right?
Who drives the pace, who is using that knowledge to dictate what's going on anyway, using D'Lo within what he understands right. to be the game context, the season context. Yeah, I'm not too concerned about D'Lo there. What I'm concerned about D'Lo is, does he get a bad playoff matchup where he has to guard someone he can't? And now it's harder for him to cook also because he's not feeling himself when he's getting scored on.
I just think of it like you have one guy who's so aware of the standings and we're celebrating that. And then if we go to the other end and we say, what if D'Lo came out and was like, I can't focus on that. I need to be laser focused on the task at hand. Right. And then we glorify that as well too. And then we go back and then we like glorify the guys that grinded and knew the game back and forth and could flip plays and were processing so much faster. And then on the other hand, we're glorifying the guys that were so talented that were able to just get here without that other component, that were Lamar Odom eating candy in the locker room, or Ron Artest was able to drink mid-game. And these things are almost like tales that are celebrated, like Twizzlers in Lamar Odom socks is like a tale as old as time, right?
He could have
a shitty diet or whatever, and he was still able to overcome that. And we glorify all of these things. Like, what really matters? We gotta draw a line in the sand somewhere.
I do see what you're saying, but I think in each of these contexts, you're glorifying different things. You're glorifying LeBron for being a genius. You're glorifying LO for being so good despite not doing all these other things that we see successful players do. So I think it's a little bit of both. Maybe also, you know, comparison is the thief of joy here, and we should just kind of celebrate all of these players and how incredible they are. Like, D'Lo doesn't have to be quite on LeBron's level. And I would say the last thing is you kind of have to accept who the guys are in your team. I agree that like Jordan and to a lesser extent LeBron and other guys do push their teammates to be better, to be smarter in these situations, even if that's not their natural mode. But to an extent, you can't expect everyone to be LeBron. You have to understand that to get the best version out of each of these guys, you have to accept a little that they're going to be who they are going to be and build them up in their own mode and not try and make them into little mini LeBrons.
I think we're glorifying the one thing that's consistent through all of it is winning. Like, we're glorifying results, right? We will find the way to tell the story around results no matter how it comes. What do you want to finish off? We aim for about a 30 to 35 minute pod each time, AV. What do you want to finish off with? Should we talk about Fratello on the NCAA side, or should we go over some first year players going into the playoffs?
We might even be able to do both. Let's do Fratello first, just because it's so hilarious. So essentially, Mike Fratello, the czar, I don't know how old he is. I would say 70 plus, is caught texting in the middle of a game that I assume he's announcing, because he's sitting right in that announcer seat and it doesn't even look like a timeout. Like, I see people running. He's on his phone, you know, in that giant old people text where like the bubbles take up the whole screen, and he's texting some girls, looks like a side piece or something, as a 70-year-old man. Oh my God, I'm forgetting what he, oh yeah, he said, you make my motor purr, bitch, and bitch is in all caps and with some extra letters in there. It's to think of this dude who, like, as a sportscaster, is like fairly straight laced, thought of, I think, somewhat well. You could tell me if I'm wrong, as both a court, a coach, and an announcer. And he's just like a savage on the sidelines, just like texting, like, look, I have so many comments about this. So you go first.
I don't really have much to say at all. I'm kind of speechless. I'm kind of like, everyone has their weird ism or their vice or their outlet or their thing. We saw weird images of shirtless Bill Belichick on a ring camera this year. Yep. Now we see the czar, Mike Fratello, texting at the games. They were Rex Ryan with the feet. There's going to be some weird shit.
Yeah, okay, you're giving him more of a pass there, and that's fine.
I just don't know what to say besides there's weird shit, and yeah. It's not as egregious as other things we've seen.
No, it's not, and it looks like a super consensual text conversation. You see a little of the other side coming back. They seem to both be calling each other bitch, but that was like a strange thing too. Like, I understand their context where like that word isn't derogatory and people can say it to each other, but like that sounds to me in that situation where it's not like, I don't know, like that didn't sound.
If
like
you were like related to him, if he was like your grandfather, oh, if it's right? like. Yeah,
exactly. That's brutal. That's
Fratello's brutal. Fratello's Italian. Is that correct?
I believe so. Although he's known as the czar, which always sort of threw me off. I don't know how he earned that nickname.
I think that's from knowing everything as an announcer. Or maybe, no, because he was a coach. I thought it was from his former coach.
He was the czar. And yeah. I always assumed it meant he was not a nice guy. But I couldn't see. That could be my anti-czar bias that I'm putting into that.
Clearly he's got some sort of motivation tactics. All right, let's go over some of these. It's honestly, AV, it's healthy. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. I'm happy. I'll
if I'm that age and I'm still making bitches are making my motor purr, then I'm excited.
You know I hope your motor purrs exactly as much as you want it to purr. But I hope this isn't a boring answer. But it almost made me feel like, you know what, I'm a 75-year-old man. I sort of hope I act like an appropriate 75-year-old man. Like, what's so wrong with like acting your age? Maybe at 75, I'll be pumped to be at the game like this guy and announcing and not having some side piece and maybe like happy with my life. Look, I don't know who he's texting. I shouldn't make assumptions. I will gladly transition to a basketball topic and talk first year players with you.
So I came up with this list: Chet, Paolo, Zion, and Haliburton. I don't know if there was really others. I could pull up the NBA standings. I'll do that right now, and we could go through it. Let's start with those four. You want to just – who do you trust? Who do you not trust? Is there anyone that makes you feel certain ways in either direction? Chet, Paolo, Zion, and Haliburton?
I almost want to knock Haliburton off so we can kind of like quickly talk about it, check it off, and move on to the next, because I actually think he's the least interesting. I feel like that Indiana team is the opposite of peaking at the right time. He is in a pretty significant slump. And I do sort of trust him actually to put up good numbers in the playoffs and have some good games and for it not to matter, because they're just not going to get a good matchup. I don't really trust them as a team right now, despite really liking Carlisle as a coach. And they could prove me wrong, and I'd be happy about that because I like Indiana. But I was really feeling them when they were peaking in the in-season tournament, and I'm really not feeling them now. So I'm kind of fine to just say Haliburton can show me or not show me. I want to focus on the other three guys whose teams are playing well.
So I just looked up the standings. The Pacers are the sixth seed right now. They are one game up of the 76ers, who just actually beat the Clippers today. 121-107 in LA. A little LA doubleheader. They pulled it off. No travel into the second road game for the 76ers.
Tough.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about going 76ers money line in that spot, and I didn't. I just stayed away. But I was going to say, I trust Haliburton. I just think that the game slows down in the playoffs, and he's going to, and it gets a little bit more physical, and he's takes advantage of the space, the pace, running and kind of not being able to bump as much and just go, hit ahead. So I'm thinking like maybe he could have a little bit of trouble, but not really a guy that I am too concerned about because he still has good size for his position. So I do think when the game gets physical, he's going to be able to handle it. He's played he was great in Team USA this summer, which is a physical game against the foreign countries. He's played in some intense games.
I also think that because the expectations are low for that team and his usage is going to be so high, it's going to be hard for him to like look bad after this. Yeah. And if they win a series,
unless he's just bricking these shots still.
Yeah, I know. He is a little cold right now. But like, how about a guy like Zion, where his team couldn't be hotter, they're defending well, and it's to know how his game translates to the playoffs might be the hardest out of any of these guys because he's such a freak.
AV, I'm really concerned about my man Z.
Ooh.
He's just going to get pick and rolled and put in the action over and over and over again. So we say that Zion's lost 25 pounds since he was made to look like a fool in the in-season tournament games. And if so, great. We need that weight to stay off and probably five more before we get to the playoffs. Cardio is going to need to be at all-time high for Z, because he is going to get put in the action over and over and over again. It is going to be damn near every play. They're going to be going up against the Clippers in round one. You know Ty Lue likes to take advantage of matchups, and you know Ty Lue likes to play a strategic game and play players off the court or make it difficult for another coach to have this guy out there. And he is going to make Zion work so much defensively that if he's not in tip-top shape and you're not getting efficient, dominant Zion on offense, then what are you really getting from Z? So they look so good right now, and he's going to have to carry a bigger load for Ingram for the next few weeks and hope that Ingram comes back. But if there's a big plate on Zion's shoulders, I fear he's going to come up looking real weak.
I like that take. That'd be a tough matchup for him in the first round of playoffs. The only thing that I would say there is, A, he actually has looked good enough offensively that he might overcome some of that, that you're just like a plus because he's been so unique. He has been passing well and sort of not just bully balling. And the other thing is that that team is maybe the second or at least top three defensive team right now. So to the extent that the rest of the team that is defending so well can help and work around him, maybe they can make up for some of that. But I do think those are the exact things to look out for.
What about the rooks? I mean, actually, Powell is not a rook. Chet's a rook. They were drafted together. That's why I think of it.
Paolo, there's so much more on him as he is, you know, the number one weapon that they're going to have to run things through. I know that it's he and Franz and that a lot of guys have been playing well there, but, you know, he's the clear number one guy and Chet is the clear, you'd probably say three even behind Jalen Williams, but you could call him the two. I could hear you out either way. So I think there's so much more on Paolo where he has to create more. And I think his game probably will translate well because so much of his offense come from tough shots anyway that he's getting now in the regular season that he's used to having to hit those, where there are a lot of guys like Tyrese and other guys that benefit from sort of easier regular season looks that you don't get as much in the playoffs. But who knows? I think the bigger thing is they're defending so well that he might not have to be efficient, which would be great for him.
They have so much length that he plays right in between a Carmelo and a Damari type of player. That's what I've always found. Nice. Paolo is like the perfect comp. Split the two Knicks, bring him to New York. New York would fucking love Paolo back. But he will be in Orlando for a long time.
Smart.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Paolo as you feel about Halliburton, where realistically they're probably going to get a tough draw in the first. Like, let me pull up the standings. Let me share.
I think four or five Knicks, and I'll look with you too.
Right, it's gonna come down to who. Yeah, I'm gonna pull up the standings. Sorry. All right. There's the Eastern Conference on the screen right now, AV. So Magic right now would draw the Knicks. So honestly, going against the Cavaliers isn't that bad. I just think Paolo's. That's a tough matchup to go against Randall and Mitch Robinson if they're back and healthy and OG. So if the Knicks are healthy, then I'd be really concerned for Paolo.
Yeah.
If you go against Mobley, that's concerning too. I think Paolo's going to have a tough time, but it's going to be a dogfight playing unders in those games, getting 88 to 92 games with the Magic because Suggs and Jonathan Isaac and those guys are such dogs. Are you concerned at all about Chet Holmgren in the West with his size not holding up against some of the other teams?
Because it's so physical in the playoffs and they might be able to go through him a little bit. It looks so far that both he and Wemby, their length sort of overcomes that. And they still make it so difficult and deter so much more than they're getting beat up. Plus, he has the range. So it's not like he has to go through people offensively where he's now going to be running into brick walls and people fouling him more. He is sort of a little bit more space. And so I'm not as worried about him. I think there's so much more on Shea's shoulders and the way that the rest of that team splits it. I'm looking forward to seeing him, but I think that's more of a team pressure. Like, is their ranking right now in the West more regular season thing, or are they actually a part of the big guys?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that this one comes down to seeding, right? If they end up going against the Lakers, then I have real concerns for Chet against AD. If they end up getting the Mavericks, then it's lively and it's rook on rook down in the paint. So advantage Chet. If they end up getting the Sacramento Kings and going against Sabonis, problem for Chet, because Sabonis will absolutely bury you with his shoulder. He plays like Julius Randle.
Yeah, he does go through you. And then
absolutely goes through players.
Alec in the chat says Kuminga. I actually think Kuminga is playing well enough that he deserves to be a part of this conversation, and because he's going to have to play so well for the Warriors to do well in the playoffs, and I sort of still think they can be dangerous from that play-in spot. I think seeing what he can do in the playoffs is super interesting.
I just added Alec to screen. What up, Alec?
How are you doing?
Yeah, did you have you dropped a few names in the chat as we were going through this? You said J-Dub, Kuminga in a real role. Kuminga was there for the previous title run, but not this version of like how they're reliant on Kuminga, where he's the new what Wiggins was to that previous title run.
Yeah. He didn't have as prominent as a role, and now he's a huge part of their success. So seeing him in that spotlight will definitely be interesting. I think J-Dub, too, is a big X factor. I mean, Chet also, as you guys were saying, you know what Shea's going to give you, even though Shea played in the playoffs with the Clippers?
Yeah, he did. He was actually pretty good, too.
And with Chris Paul,
different
too.
Situation though. Right? Different situation. He Very was not different. The yeah, yeah. Let's.
But
yeah.
He overperformed his small role.
So for Great. The purposes of this discussion, it's basically Shea, a first year guy too.
Yeah.
In terms of stepping up into this game with on the Kuminga yeah. type, yeah, I, yeah.
But for if sure. you have, if you have, I mean, they're gonna like the hope as a OKC futures ticket holder. Is just Shea and J-Dub just being lethal and just really stepping up.
Which... Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing J-Dub in the playoffs too. Also because he, even though he's been so good offensively this year, shooting, I think 40% from three or something, scoring, because of what he gives you at the defensive end, it's almost like his on or off nights are less important because he's in lockdown mode, really. His length is kind of crazy. He's stronger now. He's so good.
Is there anyone else that we need to hit on? Alec, is there anything else throughout the show that we didn't address properly?
Yeah, so actually, I was going to ask, though, who most improved. Is J-Dub in the most improved conversation?
No, it's Maxey. It's Maxey and Coby White.
Yeah, Coby White, too.
How much do you guys – so I have Maxey money in, and I don't have any Coby White money in. How much do you think I need to be actually worried about Coby White winning most improved over Maxey? None, right?
I've seen so little Coby White, even though he's been crushing, because yeah. Chicago is such an uninteresting team to me yeah, that I'm not the right person.
Story. It's a story as much as anything, it's, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Maxey made all-star game. Based. He's going to be like borderline Team it USA
be,
choice.
It should be Maxey. I'm on board with that, especially what he's had to do without Embiid this year. He was killing it while Embiid was in to start the year, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, his numbers stayed the same, and his efficiency dropped, and his usage got higher. So it's like, and they've just been so bad and sliding down the standings without Embiid. But hey, good win against the Clippers tonight should help Maxey in the odds.
Yeah, I mean, if the Clippers are going to play like trash, they might as well just rest everyone so that they aren't unhealthy for the playoffs. Because being unhealthy in the playoffs has been their downfall forever. So just be healthy, please.
I think the Clippers fooled everyone again.
You don't think they're ready? Wow!
Wow!
Just the what was they were they 26 and something five or something in that run?
Do
earlier in the season?
Who do you trust more, the Suns or the Clippers in a playoff run?
That's a tough ask for me. I'd probably say the Suns.
Wow! It's funny.
Alec, go run to Bet Rivers and put money on their 25-1, Ben. I did, and I'm surprised the number hasn't changed yet.
I think I don't. Know, I really I don't trust either of those teams. Against
it's so funny
because the West.
It's a harder ask for me because I trust both of those teams a little bit more than other people. I know the Suns are getting harder and harder to trust, but the way Kawhi is playing and how good that team is with what they're asking Harden to do, which isn't going to be a ton. And just because they have Durant and what I've seen in Booker in the playoffs, what I know the Suns could be capable of. Look, I could be so wrong, but it's funny that they're close for both of us because we both have them rated so differently.
As we wrap up this podcast, we got the Bucks and the Thunder tipping off in 10 minutes. Yeah, that's what I'm definitely going to go be watching. Any Giannis has been ruled in. He was probable upgraded to playing. Predictions for that game?
Yeah, I predict
Bucks,
I'm gonna
Bucks
watch
are minus the, Bucks are minus 2.5 at home. Who do you like?
My prediction is I'll be watching the Miami Open tennis tonight. We got some good singles matches going on here.
You're not gonna watch Bucks Thunder?
Andy Murray right now is in a tough third set, serving to hold on.
March Madness stands no chance to the Miami Open.
Exactly. That's Miami why
Open. NBA regular Podcasts season.
Like us, give them some
Although
love,
Bucks
you know?
Thunder, Bucks Thunder is probably the best basketball game on tonight, I think.
Yeah, that's actually a good matchup. I'm half kidding. I would love to watch some of that game.
I like.
Alec, you got any picks for that game? Bucks Thunder minus 2.5 for people who are watching live.
Give me the Thunder with the points. Give me the Thunder money line.
What's the total at? 234, play the under.
Although
I'm on the under 232. I got negative 2 points in CLG. That shit sucks. But say again.
Have they played yet?
Yeah, they played, and the Thunder won by like 20, but Brook Lopez wasn't in. But anyways,
yeah, I feel like
all right, that'll wrap up today's show. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Thank you, Alec, and thank you, AV, for spending an hour with me. We will see you guys next week to go through another list of the hottest topics around the NBA. Of course, let me remind everyone to sign up for fiddlespicks.substack.com. to go check out Fantasy Basketball International for all of their resources as well. Thank you again. Peace out.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.